All right. Well, Bob Kudla of TradeLikeAGenius.com. Welcome to Radiant Creators. You know, here on Radiant Creators, we interview inspiring people to inspire others. And Bob Kudla is an inspiring guy. And what Trade Like a Genius is doing and helping people learn to trade is inspiring. And one of the things that I really find for myself personally as a trader, I crypto trade, that's how I make a living. And what one of the most helpful things to me is community. And so with Trade Like a Genius, when you join, there's the chat and you can talk with other traders who are trading all day and you can compare charts and such. And for me, maybe the number one thing that's helped me learn to trade and continue to be profitable is a community. It's really hard to do by yourself. So that's one of the things that, Trade Like a Genius does offer. So that's kind of a quick promo, I guess. I wasn't even planning on doing that. But Bob, how you doing? And could you tell people a little bit about yourself and how you came to be a creator of Trade Like a Genius?
Oh man, I'm gonna date myself. So I was born and raised in Pennsylvania and went to college here. And then after university, I went ahead and I spent 7 years as an officer in the Marine Corps. And once I finished that responsibility, I went ahead and I worked for two Fortune 500 companies as in the sales and then in business development, mergers and acquisitions. So I was in the financial services space. I understand tech, software as a service, repetitive revenue streams, internet, all that stuff. That was my industry. And then in the early 2000s, I went ahead and since I was acquiring companies, we actually got acquired. And then I decided to take an opportunity in my mid-40s to quote unquote retire, but really retire from the corporate world. And I went ahead and I started a solar energy company. And at the same time, I indulged this passion I had for trading. And so when I was 31 and in 1991, my wife bought me she bought me a charting program from Telecharts, and I was hooked. And I wanted to retire the very next week, but my wife informed me that we have to actually have money to live on, and I can indulge this hobby later. And so when I had the opportunity and I had the capital, I went ahead and retired from the corporate world. I love solar energy, so I started a business that with my brother-in-law, and I went ahead and I would trade in the mornings, and because I live on the West Coast, I think you're out on the West Coast too, and in the afternoons, I would go out and I would sell systems and install them with my family. And so that was the genesis of it, and so I was trading on my own, and then I met up with a few other traders who talk about community, and we started a group, and it was a private group called the Investor Masterminds. And out of that group, there was somebody in the group that said, hey, Bob, you have a really cool system. You help people navigate through the 2008 crisis really well. Silver and gold was coming out of that crisis and it was really rocketing. He said, hey, why don't we try to do something and take this public and let everybody know what we're doing here. And I said, sure, that sounds fine. And so we started Trade Genius. It's our fifth year now. And we started really trading, stocks and ETFs. And then one of my other partners that joined us, who actually started with us on the stock side, was a crypto miner. And so 2011, he actually started mining cryptocurrency. He owned an internet company and had all the bandwidth and capability. He started, mining Bitcoin. And so he has quite a bit of it from very, very low prices. And he knows the system better than I think anybody in the world. And he's not one of these fly-by-night guys. He's extremely, extremely intelligent guy, very risk-oriented in terms of making sure that we're getting in the right trades and has an engineer mindset, but totally believes in the macro story as do I. So then now we have Trade Genius and we have a stock side of the house. And we have a crypto side of the house. And what we work off of, every crypto and stocks work the same way. They're really supply and demand. They're price oriented, meaning that what we call price pays. And so you can see price action. And what we did was we created algorithms to be able to see when the price action is going to flip from being in a when people are, you know, reducing exposure, or people are starting to acquire more shares or more coin. And then we went ahead and expressed that in the system called the ribbon system. I shot you some charts just to show you what's in all time frames. And that's what we offer our clients. And in addition to that, we teach them how to use that as part of the service, number one. So they get access to that system. It's located inside of TradingView. And then we have, and we put out trade signals too. I believe you get them. So, you know, you can see when if there's a stock that we like. I always try to find a stock every day for our listeners and subscribers to be able to take a trade with us. Phil does it on the crypto side when he sees good opportunities on all coins and also on Bitcoin. And then we have what you call the chat rooms. And you know, even today we were talking about, we have two levels of chat rooms. We have a chat room that's just like, you know, just digital chat. And then we have a room called the VIP room. And it's just like you and I are talking right now, where people can actually interact. And we were talking today that in fact, that it's really, it's more of a family. I mean, we literally, this week talked through a young trader who lost his brother, you know, and you know, he felt it was important to actually interact with people that he knows and trusts like this, digitally, you know, because you spend so much time, as you know, when you're trading cryptocurrencies, it's 24/7. You think, you know, in one sense, trading is freedom, but in another sense, it's a responsibility. And when something trades 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like crypto does, or 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, like the futures do, you get to know people really, really well. And so we like to see ourselves as much as a family as we do a chat room. And you know, we're not Lambo guys. You know, we're you know, we consider ourselves lunch pail kind of traders, and we look for good opportunities, good setups. And you know, we like to say, you're going to get rich slowly, but you're going to get rich. And so you just go ahead and you find the great setups. You take the setup, you use the right risk management, and you're going to do really well over time. And there's plenty of opportunities out there. You know, so that's Trade Genius. That's what we do. People want to join us, they go to tradelikeagenius.com. Craig, I threw some specials out there for your listeners. You and I, first time we got a chance to talk other than chatting interactively through, you know, through Telegram. So, but if you want to take advantage of it, just check us out. You know, take a peek. We record all our trades so you can see what we do. And we're a very, very, very transparent company.
And the family aspect is very real, because I do belong to Trade Like a Genius, of course. And so I am in the chat there. And I also belong to a different group, but I won't mention them. The thing is I think if I stopped trading today, what I would miss more than trading is the people, like you were saying, because everybody's sort of, I would not call it stress, but it's like driving on the highway. When the highway gets small because there's construction and the wall is really close, you just got to pay attention when you're trading, especially crypto. And so when you're working with these people, the other people in the chat, I find that to be the most helpful, because you find cool setups and then you send them out there. Other people find them, and then you can also collaborate. Hey, what do you guys think? And then it just creates this beautiful day of trading or evening of trading. And one thing about the chat is, there's somebody there 24/7. There's always somebody awake trading who's watching it, you know? And so that I find to be remarkably helpful, because it takes like 50% of the work of trading out, because you're getting, of course, signals that get sent out, which are very helpful. But also a huge one for me is just being able to, you're looking at a chart and you're looking at something, you think it's a good setup. You can cut and paste it in there and say, hey, what do you guys think? And that to me is like, I would say, for me personally as a trader, that community, that interaction has taken me further than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and also depending what time frame you're trading too. So, you know, you and I were chatting before, you know, we got on the call together about what's going on with BitMEX. You know, look, if you're a hyper trading, trading on the 5 minute, you know, our system would have had you out for that, it collapses. There's no surprises in the market. You still start to see, you know, degradation of price or degradation of interest. And one of the things our system sees is that, you know, you'll start seeing divergences in price action over the price and bail out. Or if you're a weekly trader like I am, I could care less what happened there, you know. And people will talk you down from the ledge too. Like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people like freaked out when they saw that. We're like, hey, you know what? If you got taken out or you're worried it's going to go down lower, let's look for the next support area. And Phil's thinking, hey, you know, I can get down to 9600 and still not change any bullish view. You know, we're post halving. You know, we know what happened in the last four or five halving events. You know, we know what the macro environment is. And if you notice, you know, well, crypto is kind of moving in lockstep with risk, you know, so, you know, we know that they're going to be pumping trillions of dollars into the market. We know people are worried about the banking system. So, you know, the macro backdrop is supporting crypto. And so, you know, if you're a weekly like I am, I looked, I'm like, okay, I'm still in accumulation phase of the market. We're still above support and, you know, no need to, reduce any of my risk. And if you notice, I mean, we're up, you know, 50-60% off the last run up. So it's not like, and that's the thing people freak out too. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get anything back. And then you miss the next rocket ship higher. We trade a few in the stock world. We trade a few, what I call very active stocks. And people are like, you know, hey, I need a double. I'm going to get out. I'm like, well, you're not in it for a double. You're in it for a 10 bagger. So, you know, don't take all your chips off the table. It may pull back 50% and then double again, and then you'll sit there frozen. You know, it's called, you know, you're afraid then, you get paralyzed. So it all depends on your time frame. And I think the rooms help people understand that, because, you know, first question we ask, well, why are you worried about that? Why are you trying to solve that problem? It might be warranted. You know, you might be somebody saying, look, I have a wall here. If it gets below, you know, 10,500, I'm getting out. Right, good. Okay, you followed your trade advice. But if not, you know, then what's your goal here? And so, you know, in trading is, you know, you have to let trades breathe. So depending on what you're trying to accomplish, if you hold on too tight, you're going to miss a lot of upside, especially in a bull run. And, you know, we think Bitcoin's in a bull run. You know, we think the altcoins probably are set aside for the moment. Stock market is in a bull run, no matter how much we hate what the Federal Reserve does to our country and what the government does. You can't argue with price. You have to set that aside. And then same with, and I'm a silver trader. So, you know, we're long suffering on the silver side. So you just take your shot when it gives it to you. You hop off, you keep a core. And just like this year, I mean, when it went down to $11, we loaded up and it triples. You know, how often do you get triples? You know, so, you know, now we peel back, we're back to core again, and we're waiting for the Fed to start buying assets again, and we'll get another double, and we just keep taking from them and putting it into our pocket. And so that's what's great about a community, because we have those kind of conversations all the time.
Yeah, and the nice thing you mentioned, being chucked off a ledge, because when I saw that Bitcoin dump today, I could feel all the liquidations, all the shorts getting killed, all the longs getting killed. It's like you can feel it. It's like an Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars said, oh, it sounded like thousands or millions of voices suddenly cried out and then were silent. You know, I could just feel it. And I thought, man, to some extent, I feel like a lot of those, you know, longs that got killed, oftentimes it's people who didn't set stop losses. And also they're just, you know, trying too hard. It's funny with crypto is when Bitcoin dumps 2%, everyone acts like it's the end of the world. You know, Peter Schiff has to tweet something stupid. It's like, it's, oh gosh, it's over. And then of course, when it pumps 3 or 5% the next day, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be the world currency. It's amazing how, especially in the crypto market, since that's where I hang out, just how excited people get about these small percent swings like we had today, ultimately, where if you just zoom out, you realize, you know, Bitcoin has been on a rocket ship to Pluto for a long time, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I came in an environment where we have, you know, we were in the perfection business. So that was, you know, we had our tolerances at Six Sigma, you know, like one error in 100,000. And, And so I always joke with people, because they say, Bob, you're always so calm, you know, when work must, things are going well, you're calm, things are going well. That's a learned behavior. And because, you know, you'll exhaust yourself by being too, too emotional in the trade. But I always say people see Six Sigma events when they live in a Two Sigma world. And so everybody's looking around the corner for the next crash. Everybody's looking on the next corner for the next 2017 in crypto, right? So people push their chips in hard, or they bail out fast, when really the environment is much more muted. And now, especially with, you know, the stock market's already has these governors built in with the derivatives. Crypto's learning how to operate in the derivative environment. You know, 2017, the reason why that's become the ceiling at the moment is because that's when the future environment has begun. And so now you have big money hedging and big money drawing cash out, and it will mute the moves to an extent until we get into a new trading range. And it worked in reverse. I mean, this thing was diving down into the 6,000, going to 4,000. Everybody said crypto's done. Well, the derivative market worked the other way. And so they started taking out the shorts. And so that's what happens. And so, you know, basically you start working with what's called tighter and tighter channels. And you just working that. But you have to really, you know, if you're listening to me, you have to really, really just kind of relax. You know, most bad things aren't going to happen. Most great things aren't going to happen. So, but there's a lot of good things that are going to happen. There's a lot of small worries that are going to happen. And those you manage, you know. And I do a lot of these interviews, as you well may imagine. And a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of fear out there. And, you know, and you know, I can't say how many times, you know, I've been doing this publicly for 5 years. I think, you know, Dave Devine and I, we were doing this before this was a this. You know, I mean, we were just talking together, and he was patching things together, because we were talking about the grand solar minimum. And you know, we knew, even though things are going to get really, really bad, we were talking something's going to happen 15 years later. Well, you know, people are, you know, what do we do? We do just every day do something, you know, but you don't panic. You know, hey, you know what? If you don't have a garden, start learning how to garden. You know, if you don't have food to put away for a week, get food to put away for a week, then put it away for a month. I live in Southern California. I don't worry about, you know, basically the city shutting down, but I do worry about earthquakes, you know, and not being able to have access to food or water or go anywhere for maybe 1 or 2 weeks. Well, I manage to that. I can't manage to societal breakdown, you know. So you do what you can, and that's what's most likely to happen is the, what I would call the Two Sigma event. Same with trading. People are always looking now, you know, oh, I got Bitcoin. It's going up 200,000. Well, let's let it get the new highs first, you know, and not that it won't, but just let it get there. And then once it gets there, it's going to establish a new trading range. And then we just work it from there. So, and same with stock market. I mean, you know, we hear all kinds of crazy stuff about, you know, the market's going to drop 90%, or gold's going to go up to 85,000. Well, you know, those things both may happen, but they're not going to happen tomorrow. And so you just manage the process, and you're going to make a lot of money.
There's something about the trader's mindset that I think is very, very healthy, because there's a guy we're going to have on the show. We've interviewed him before. It's just, he's known just as VP. You may have heard of him, and he's got a great YouTube channel, and he's just created a lot of trading psychology videos, just a bunch of stuff, bunch of content, well known, just wrote a book recently. And one of the reasons we were going to talk to him, and also one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you, is that it seems that people who are trading are just these eternal, you might say, optimists, because like you mentioned, some people think gold's going to go way high. And then also, you know, Bitcoin's going to go to astronomical amounts and such. But what people forget, but I think the trader knows, is something's making money every day. Why worry about how far gold or Bitcoin's going to go? Just make sure you're in things that are making money, and you're making money. So I think that, you know, what is it about the trader's mindset that I think is a great, it's a great psychology. It's a great way of seeing the world and seeing life, where you go, you know, this in spite of grand solar minimums, social unrest, et cetera, I'm going to make money today or this week. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to find where money is being made and I'm going to get in that. And then when it turns around, I'm going to get out.
Yeah. I mean, look at trading as the, you know, it's, I think it's the ultimate industry that can't be outsourced. Right. So, I mean, the first industry in the world, probably after prostitution, was traders, right? So, you know, I have something you want and we establish value and we trade it, you know, so we're not necessarily, you know, consuming and producing, but what we're doing is facilitating. And we're looking for anomalies in the price action so that we can take our piece. And I think, you know, I can only look at it from my standpoint. You know, I'm a right brain guy. I'm more artist than engineer. You know, I think I see the world visually. You know, I did business development for nearly 25 years, and you got to learn how to see around corners. And I think the stock market gives you clues. And so you can see things before the price happens. And so for me, that is the challenge and the joy that I had. Number one is I had full control. You know, I'm talking to you in my t-shirt in my house, right? You know, I work my hours, you know, so we probably work harder than most people with a job, but we're putting our own money in our own pocket. And so that's deeply satisfying to somebody like myself. And number two, I can't blame anybody for anything. If I lose money, I lost money. Nobody else did. I lost it. You know, I have to be accountable to my families, and I have a service. I'm kind of accountable to the people that are following me. If they don't think I'm making money, I wouldn't have this business. You know, and so I like that. That's good for me. And what we see is really interesting. We laugh about it. There's really two types of traders out there, that at least that I see, is you know, and Phil and I are we're kind of opposite, but we end up at the same place. You know, I'm very visual, and I look at oscillations. I think the world works as an oscillation, and so you see the swings, and so I see the swings from distribution to accumulation. We visualize that. Phil, as you know, not only does he do cryptocurrency, but he's a forex trader, and so you at 100-to-1 leverage, you have to be extremely accurate, and he's a process guy, so he knows like when things go certain ways, and you see when he puts crypto stuff out, you know, he's showing you levels. That stuff's not out of the blue. This is mathematical, looking at flow and you know, against price and what it did before and how it reacts. And so he does extremely well by looking at, he takes an engineered mindset to it. And so when we work together, we're able to complement each other, and we created our system that really accounts for both approaches. And so he speaks to the process people out there, and I speak to the visual people out there. And I see both types. In terms of psychology, it's really interesting to me is that, you know, we look at, there's four kinds of behaviors, right? You're an unconscious incompetent, you're an unconscious competent, you're conscious incompetent. Basically, you start off, you don't know what you don't know, and they end up, you know, knowing what you know, but you can't communicate it anymore because it's kind of been bred in you. And then we laugh, saying then you're what's called overconfident, and then you end up making mistakes. You know, so that's kind of the stages people go through. And so a lot of it is jargon. As you know, you got to learn the jargon, and then you got to learn the process. But the thing that we try to tell people is, like, if you lost money, but you followed the process, you actually are just fine. You know, this business, if you're 65% right, meaning that you'll lose one out of every three trades you take, regardless of how good you are, that's elite. Is that you're following the process, you're gonna make money over time. You know, so it's not a transactional environment. It's a, you know, it's a marathon. And so, you know, if you did 65% you played baseball, you'd be the richest guy in the world, right? So, but in stock trading, people tend to, if I'm not 100%, I'm a failure. And then you make all kinds of mistakes trying to overcompensate for the bad trade that you did. You create a process. I have a process. It took us 10 years to develop it the way I liked it. It works. I follow it. Now, there could be times where you have 2 or 3 weeks where everything you do is not going to work. Well, we know the process works. It's just that in this environment, you can't code for everything, and you just have to fight through it. And the next thing you know it, you can't lose. And then you have to know, okay, I'm in that season now where it's optimized, but don't touch the system, it works. And so those are the things that you tell people is that, look, if you're losing money and you don't follow a process, you get a process or don't do this. But if you're losing and making money and you follow a process and you know the process and the track record, you stay with the process.
Yeah, and that can definitely be challenging. That has been for me, but I've gotten better about that is, yeah, like you're saying, if you have a process and it works and it's proven that it works, and you know, if you follow it, it's going to work, even though you lose once in a while, you're good to go. Yeah, that's been a huge one for me right there. It's just sticking with a process that works. And it's one of the nice things about being in a group that's following a common methodology is that you all know that the process works. You're all comparing your charts to that common methodology. And then the signals are based on that. And so it's almost like it kind of creates a certain amount of trust within that community of, well, we're all kind of trading in the same way towards the same ends. And so that group therapy in a way for me has always been very helpful, where when it's great, you're all celebrating. You're like, yeah, this is good. This is great. This is great. When you have a bad week, a bad month, just things aren't going well, you're not in it all by yourself at home alone, sad. Because your trades didn't go well. You have people that you can look into it with, you know, you start to explore, well, why didn't this happen? You know, what's going on? Okay, I'm going to hold off until we see, you know, let's say if it's just crypto, until we see Bitcoin here, we're going to, you start to all together using the methodology that you have, you start to plan your next move after those losses rather than dwell on them. And that to me is, that's huge, because even though you win most of the time, sometimes those losses can just, they bug you. And it's amazing how quickly we go from euphoria to depression when we're trading.
Well, also boredom too. I mean, like today, we basically have, you know, kind of two rooms in the stock side. One is, you know, swing trade that you're in, you know, anywhere 3 to 5 days kind of, trade. And then we have people that day trade. And so one of the guys came on this morning overnight. He, when the market opened, he got basically limited out on trade, which means it hit his target, and he had cash. And within 5 minutes, he said, Bob, what should I get back into? I'm like, well, what are the charts that you should get into? You know, and basically we call that a boredom trade. I have cash, I want to deploy it, I got to deploy it, I got to be in the trade, I got to be there. You know, and then, you know, the other trade is in the morning, like this morning, the stock market gapped up. And some people are like, oh shoot, I gotta get in. We call that FOMO, for missing out. Look what the market did all day, sold off all day. So it caught all those people that had to get in, you know. So those are some of the psychology that we do. And then also too, if the system says to sell. You know, and you know, for long as I trade, that's my hardest thing, because, you know, I think I'm smart, right? I think I have a process, I have a system. And then once in a while I look at it, I say, oh, the system's wrong. Or, you know, I'll give it more time, or I'll give it more room. You know, close the trade. There's another trade coming. You know, so those are the things that we mostly see. You know, and the other thing we see a lot of time, we call it, spray and pray. You know, you just throw things out there to see if it's going to hit. And then most times it doesn't. Or you revenge trade, you start doubling up on trades that don't work for you. And it's called averaging down. Now, big money does it. People say never average down. Well, the big money does it all the time. That's how they make all their money. But for retail, don't average down. You don't have enough cash. And so those are things that we kind of counsel people on when we're training. And the other thing too is, and I hate it because it's not my personality, is, you know, I'm not a guru. I'm just a guy with a process with a desire and a heart to help people make money. So, you know, at the end of the day, I would be absolutely delighted that you took a system such as mine and trade things that I don't even trade and make money. You know, we call it, you know, we teach how to fish, you know, we give you the tools so that you can fish effectively, and then we'll throw you some fish, you know, so that you can eat while you learn. And at the end of the day is that, look, people aren't always going to be with me, But if you want to do this for the rest of your life, you need to make sure you have a process that works for you confidently. And so hopefully we take the rough edges off of people and get them there. And the other thing too is that, you know, people think that, you know, you start with a small amount of money and you can then quit your job and start trading. It takes a while. You know, you well know that you do this for a living as well. It takes a while to get a staff. You may get lucky and you may be able to build your book pretty fast, but or it's going to take you, you know, 4 to 5 years to build a book to do this. But, you know, you need to have enough trading capital at some point to be able to, you know, jump off the cliff. I transitioned, you know, I went from, and I had a lot of money, so I transitioned from full-time job to having another company and doing this part-time to full-time job trading. And so that's, you know, you have to have a plan. And I think it works out really well what you do.
It does. And one thing I feel like a genius that is nice is you guys have training. I do believe that people can, with their subscription, they can get a training that helps them understand the methodology that's being used, basically. So that's, and that's a great thing too. So you sign up and you go, okay, I'm going to learn the methodology that everybody is using that we know works. Then I'm going to be with a group of people that are all using that, and we work together, we win together, we lose together, but we're in it. And that's been a huge one for me. So that's something I like about Trade Like a Genius. That community and also a methodology that's been proven. You follow that methodology, you have a crew of people that you're doing it with, boom. And you're right, you can learn, you can be watching the training while you're actually getting signals and also while you're learning. Because for me, I'm like, this is my third year trading. I'm just strictly doing crypto. That's just where I started. But I would say after 3 years, I'm only just getting good. But what really has helped me is, it's like, you know, groups like Tread Like a Genius, where you do get signals which help you stay profitable while you learn a methodology that works. And you can kind of go through all that, those trials and tribulations of learning, while you can have some consistent, at least for myself, consistent gains, because the signals do help. But it always
you hear people learning the first time and they think they're a failure, and we all just laughed and said, dude, we've been there. You know, we made the same mistakes. You know, so it's okay. You'll get through this. You know, it's one thing, you know, you can read a book, you talk to your trader psychology friend that you're gonna interview, is that, you know, you can tell people all day long how to do something, but until they do it, it's hard to have empathy or now they see it. It's one thing to day trade with paper money, it's another thing to day trade with real money. You know, so until people actually have to pull the trigger, you really don't know, you know, what you're about. In fact, I think paper trading is dangerous because, you know, it's like video games, right? You know, you don't die if you get shot, but I was in the Marine Corps. If I shoot you in the Marine Corps, you're dead. You know, and so paper trading does the same thing. I think it fosters excessive risk taking because you're like, oh, you know, I have more paper money that I can trade. And so you need to trade real money to start off smaller. And then in that way, you're gonna know a lot about yourself. I see guys that the minute a trade goes against them, I mean, a smidge, they're ready to bail. I see other people that took their counts down to nothing because they just refused to get out. You know, so, and the only way you know that is actually by doing it. And so, and if you're in a community, we can hopefully, you know, circumvent, you know, the bad things by saying, why are you doing that? Communicate, tell us what you're doing. How are you doing this? What are you doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's very true, because it's very easy to jump off that cliff before you really need to. So yeah, the community is definitely a huge help. And so I know I've had you probably about as long as time allows. I just wanted to mention, you're from PA, I'm from Delaware, actually. You were in the Marine Corps, I was a CB. So one thing about staying calm, I think ex-military people always have a little bit of a hedge when they get into trading, because when everybody's panicking, it's very easy to say, it's not that bad. I mean, nobody's shooting at you, are they? So you'll be fine. But
yeah, we're in Delaware. I was telling somebody this morning, I met my wife at Dewey Beach.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Well, yeah. So this has been great chatting. And one of the things I just wanted to, you know, close off with is, you always have a very unique and positive outlook on things. And I think that's That's wonderful. And David Devine's been a friend of mine for years also. And where he tends to be a little bit, oh my gosh, you're always like, okay, David, just calm down. Here's a way to see that positively where it's not quite so bad. There's conflict now between, oh gosh, I forget. It's Azerbaijan. And is it, gosh, what is it? Right next door to the east?
That's what you said.
Oh, there's a conflict right now between Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan and Armenia.
In Armenia. And so when I see that happening, there's this part of me that thinks that, and I'm just asking you this, is a good way to wrap up, because you always have a unique way of seeing things that I just didn't quite see, and it's usually positive. With that conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia, I don't think anything's going to happen personally. I think it will come and go, but I think it kind of represents a bit of a change. It seems like the BRIC nations are rearranging their allegiances possibly. What do you think is going on there with Armenia and Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is Turkey. Turkey's in big trouble. And so a lot of times when a dictator gets in trouble, they try to create external conflicts to distract people. You know, Armenia sits on the northern border of Turkey, and Azerbaijan sits to its east. And so I'm not sure. Those guys have gone at it a few times. You know, there's a couple enclaves in Armenia that are totally inside of Azerbaijan. There's probably some pipelines that are probably being negotiated, you know, and so some of this could be, you know, related to that. But that conflict is minor. You know, it's really Turkey trying to they're seeing their opportunity with some of the changes that are happening in the other parts of the Gulf, you know, with Trump and with the Gulf nations siding with the United States now and having an approach with Israel. I think Turkey's finding themselves on the outs. And so really keep your eye off of Azerbaijan and Armenia, keep your eyes on Turkey, because now Turkey's been trying to foment problems with Armenia, with Greece, with inside of Libya, you know, within Syria. They're feeling a bit, I guess they're panicking, and the Turkish lira is actually ready to implode. So, you know, that's what dictators do. So really that's the issue. But, you know, if you look around the world now, you know, there's really only a couple flashpoints, right, that can't be managed for free. One was the Middle East, and that's calming down. And look, there's no way China and the U.S. are going to get into a shooting war. There's no way North Korea is irrelevant. If North Korea decided to do anything stupid, as you know, we would take them out within 4 hours. They would have zero strategic capability in 4 hours. And so they wouldn't even know what hit them. And so China's not going to allow that to happen. And China's too tied to us. You know, we're now strategic competitors. So I think there's now a battle in terms of what does that look like in the next century. And if you talk to David, you know, China is in risk of having a lot of trouble internally. It's still raining there, Craig. It's still raining there. You know, so that country's in big trouble. But I wouldn't worry about any of those flashpoints. You know, I think, from a geopolitical standpoint, I think there's a calming happening. And so that's what I would look at. A lot of countries are looking inward, you know, because trade is collapsing, countries are in trouble, and they're going to start. You heard it last night, the other night, with the debates. Trump's always been America first. Biden's talking about being the same, and it's out of necessity. So when you have less trading, you're going to have less conflict. So I'm worried about more internal domestic demand than international stuff anyway.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah, the internal domestic, we do have those issues right now. And those are only heating up as we get, you know, closer to election. But we shall see. You know, a lot of our rioting and such seems to be dying down because local police forces are being federally deputized, which gets the DAs that are complicit out of the picture. Yeah. So, well, it's been great talking to you. I could go on and ask you endless things, but maybe we'll just do that next time, hopefully. And it's been great. And so Bob Kudla of Trade Like a Genius here on Radiant Creators, thank you so much for being on. It's been great.
Oh, thanks for having me. Let me know anytime.
All right, thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.